chapter number 20, or we've started in chapter number 20, and we're looking at the Apostle Paul and some of his movement as he has established churches and talked to folks and done the travels by foot, by boat, by whatever means necessary to get to these places that he is, you'll see a variety of names of cities throughout the study in the book of Acts, and sometimes that's a little confusing, and we've been trying to throw some maps out there for you so that you can see those things and understand them maybe a little more clearly. But anyway, we saw last time, last thing we looked at was when a young man that fell asleep in the third floor of the building fell out of the window, and Paul brought him back to life. Well, that a little exciting episode ended, if you will, there in verse number 12, and talks about how that at the end of that they brought that young man back to the group there alive, and it says, and they were not a little comforted. So we're going to look beyond that now, and we're going to look at Paul's last words for the church at Ephesus. Paul has some parting things that he wants to tell this church at Ephesus before he leaves, because he's pretty well in a place of understanding where things are going from here. Now, obviously, he doesn't know exactly all of it and every little intricate detail, but he does know enough to know that, man, this is probably the last time that I'm coming by for these folks here at Ephesus. As a matter of fact, when we get into the depth of that preaching that he does, he lets them know that, and it's really a moving thing that happens during that time. But anyway, I want you to look with me, if you will, here in chapter number 20, and begin reading with me in verse number 13. The Bible said, "And we went before the ship and sailed unto Assos, and they're intending to take in Paul, for he had so appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him in, and we came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came over the next day against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for another evening. Thank you for these good words. Thank you for the joyous songs and the time of just being able to worship you and think about you. Have our hearts and our minds on the things of God tonight. Now, I pray you just stir our hearts now. I pray you'd help us to receive the word. I pray you'd help us to have all of that in our thought and in our heart and in our life. And, Lord, we'll just thank you and we'll praise you for everything that you're doing for every one of us. We love you and we give you worship tonight, and I pray you just show us what we need to know through the Word of God, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, I want you to notice Paul is giving his last words for Ephesus. He's got some final things that he wants to tell this church. And, you know, he has written, of course, in the things that we read, all the books that we've got, we see where he's written to the different churches. Here's another one of those little maps that tells you some of the traveling of Paul, and we pick up on this trip. As you know, he was here at Troas. This is where he had that young man, Eutychus, fell from the third floor, and how that he restored him to life, how all those things happened. And then this is where Paul has gone to Assos, and then he goes to Mytilene and Chios and so on and so forth. He goes to these other cities that we're mentioning, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment, but that's where Paul's headed. He's headed all the way back from here. He's got to get back to over here to Jerusalem, and he's trying to get there in a particular time frame. He's trying to get there in a particular time frame. The Bible just tells us here that he is trying to get back at that place because he's trying to get there by the feast of Pentecost. That's the ideal time there in verse number 16. It said, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." Now, you got to kind of remember some things with us. This is not taking a plane and flying from Troas down to Jerusalem. I mean, you know, we might say, oh, well, that'd be a, you know, 3-hour flight or whatever it might be for our day and time. In that day, they were either in a boat or they were on foot, basically. I mean, that was the travel. It was by foot or it was by boat. And, you know, it was a difficult travel. It wasn't paved roads and it wasn't, you know, super highways all the way from here to there. So Paul has sat down and planned in his mind. He's that kind of guy. He's a planner on how he's going to spend his time. Something that's precious to him and that he is trying to be the best judge of and make the best use of. Paul is working on a time frame. So let's look at that tonight as we think about this whole issue and where we're going with what he's about to say. But first of all, notice this. Paul has some travel that he has to manage. He's got travel that he has to manage. Notice, if you will, how this trip goes. Now, listen, Luke has picked back up in the narrative, but Luke's back with the party again. He's been separated for a while. Don't know why. Don't know anything about that. Not mentioned to us. But we know that he's back with the group now. And in verse 13, he says, "And we," he's talking about Luke and himself with the group that they're with, "we went to ship." In other words, we went before to ship. In other words, they were getting on a boat. And as they did that, they were going to sail to this place called Assos. And it said, "they're intending to take in Paul. Listen, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot." Now, why in the world is Paul walking and the rest of them riding in a boat? Well, it's probably a little bit of speculation, but let's speculate a little bit and see what Paul is doing. Probably one of the reasons is that he wants to have a little bit more time with these folks that he's just met with at this city of Troas so that he can fellowship with them and teach them. They've been so interested in hearing the Word of God. They wanted to hear the Word. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know, we talk about how that they stayed up practically all night long listening to him preach. And as a matter of fact, that young man about the midnight hour went to sleep and fell out the window and all those things that happened there. I mean, these folks were hungry and wanted to hear from the Word of God. So Paul, he's looking for a little bit more time. And the way he managed this was, he said, "You guys go ahead, get on the ship, and I'm just going to stay here just a little bit longer and fellowship, check on that young man, maybe again, maybe that's what he's doing. We're not told that absolutely, but checking on that young man and checking on the brothers and the sisters here at this little place called Troas." But not only that, have you ever been to a place where sometimes it's just like, "I just want everybody to leave me alone. I mean, just leave me alone. Let me see what I've got to do. I mean, sometimes you wanna do that, don't you? I mean, there's times that there's some things on your mind and there's some things that you're working your way through, and you know, just everybody be quiet, just everybody hold on, and I'm gonna figure this out. And it appears that Paul, being such a man of planning and such a man of setting things in a certain order, that Paul wanted some time to be alone. Now, this is a trip of some 20 miles away. I mean, here's Paul. He's traveling from Troas to this place called Assos. He is traveling by himself about 20 miles walking alone. You know what? Some of y'all probably do this. You get out and you take a walk through your neighborhood or a walk through a pathway or a place or whatever you got. And sometimes, isn't it good just get out there and just, you know, everybody's leaving alone and you're sitting there with your thoughts. You're thinking through something. You're just talking in your own little head and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. And especially if you have some things to do. Well, I believe that that's what Paul is working on here, because Paul is getting ready to go to the meet with the people of Ephesus. He's not going to Ephesus, but he's going to meet with the people. And I believe he's trying to figure out exactly what to say to these folks. And Paul understands, this is my last trip. This is my last time probably to ever be seen by these dear folks at this church. And I want to say something that'll be of an impact and a help to their lives. And, you know, maybe he's just walking around like me and you do sometimes. You ever walk around and you're just praying and say, God, I need for you to show. I want you to just help me with this situation. And, you know, you just kind of empty out your heart. And here he is. He's trying to figure out what to say to these folks at Ephesus. And you get out and take your little brisk 20-mile walk, and that'll probably help you. Amen? Some of y'all ready to do that? Not too many of you. Okay. Well, not only that, it would be a good time for him to finalize his thoughts about going to Jerusalem. I mean, he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And as you see, he's made that an issue already twice here in all of this reading. When you see that he intended to go to Jerusalem at the feast that was before Pentecost. He wanted to go back and be there, when they had one of the great feasts of Israel. He was planning on being there, and now that time frame has kind of got away from him, and he spent extra time in Troas. He'd spent some extra time and a lot of time with the people in Ephesus, and I mean, all of these things were just kind of bundling up against him, so he had lost that time frame, and now he's trying to be sure that he gets back. As a matter of fact, we read it, and we'll read it again. It said, for Paul was determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible, to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And he's trying to finalize all of his thinking about this trip to Jerusalem. Why is that? Because he seems to know what's going to happen once he gets there. You know, we just read here a few minutes ago, he said, I know that everywhere I go, people are telling me that nothing good awaits me when I go to Jerusalem. It's all going to be jail. It's going to be put in bonds and fetters. I'm going to be tried. I mean, I understand that, Paul said. I know what's about to happen to me. So he's trying to get through his thinking on all of those things that he's doing. And I'll just throw this in for good for us. I mean, any time for any of us in exercise is a pretty good time for us. Get out and walk. Somebody say amen right there. We don't do too much of it sometimes, though, do we? But it is a good, healthy thing for most of us. If you get out, stretch your legs and do some things. And isn't it amazing? I mean, we don't know. I'm sure we could probably look it up and find a little bit of an idea about how old Paul is here at this time, but he's at least in middle age, maybe headed to older age. But I mean, you get out and walk 20 miles, and you do that in maybe a day or two's time, whatever period of time it's taken him to meet up, he's doing pretty good. I mean, I feel like he is anyway. So first of all, he's got some travel that he has to manage. But second of all, Paul takes some time during that, all of this going on, the travel and thinking about that, and all that. He takes some time and wants to be sure that he takes time to minister to those that need him. He's going to minister to the folks that need him. Look there in verse 15 again, and notice with me, it said, and we sailed thence. You know, they went through these places, Assos, and took him in, and they came to a place called Midland. And they said, we sailed thence and came the next day over to Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and we tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. Now they're just traveling. They're just kind of hopping in this boat business. They're going from one little place to another where a ship is probably unloading and loading on cargo. And they're just bouncing around doing these little trips. But it's the best way that they have to travel. Okay, they're trying to do this travel. But you can always imagine this. While Paul is doing trips, he's got ministry on his mind. He's thinking about there are folks that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is he thinking? Well, first of all, he's thinking this. There are those that he wanted to work with that are there at Ephesus. There are people at Ephesus that he says, I've got to, as I mentioned, tell them some more things that I feel like they need to know. Now, if you'll think about this, again, from what we've seen so far, that's the greatest amount of time he has spent is with this church at Ephesus. Now, does that mean they're more important than anybody else? No. It just means that's the way God's plan worked out during all of this for him, was that he spent a great deal of time at Ephesus. And if you go read the writing that he does to the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, you read that, and man, it's an uplifting, and it's a direct word to them about how that the Lord, how they're to be in Christ, and then how they're supposed to live beyond that. When you read that whole six chapters, that you get a whole lot out of that. The book of Ephesus. The book of Ephesians that are to these people at Ephesus. And so he's worked with them a lot. He's said a lot. But now he said, I want to go back and work with them some more because they need some more. And isn't it amazing when you think about all of that and you go over to the book of Revelation, when Jesus tells John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I want you to write to the seven churches which are in Asia. And he said, and the first one I want you to write to is the church where? At Ephesus. And what does he tell them? He said, I've got some things to say, and you've done well and all that. He said, but I've got somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Amen. Paul has poured his heart. Paul has poured his soul. Paul has poured his preaching, his work, his ministry into these people, and still, something can come along and tear that up. And, you know, we see it. I mean, you look in the world today, and you talk to preachers and people at churches, and, buddy, everybody seems like that they're having a struggle and a difficult time today with folks remaining in the churches. I mean, we're just there. I know the Bible says that in the last days there'll come a great falling away. I hate to be part of it, don't you? But it seems like that we are. It seems like that we are. Well, anyway, Paul wants to minister to these folks that are here at Ephesus. So we see that he goes over to these different places they sail through. And look what it says in verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus. He said, I am not going directly to Ephesus. I want to work with those folks, but I need for them to come to me. It said that he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. He wants to see them. He wants to work with them. He wants to do something for them, but his time, the time frame, is not permitting him to go. And as it says here, he would not spend the time in Asia. I mean, you know, that sounds pretty ugly sometimes when you read it directly. But he wasn't going to waste his time going inland. He said, I'm going to be here tell them to come to me. And they got a messenger out that told them, and he sent for them. And he is here at this place called Miletus, and he has not wasting his time. He wants them to come to him because he's going to make it back to Jerusalem by Pentecost. Now, what in the world is so exciting about Paul making it to Jerusalem in the time of Pentecost? As I say, he's done missed the Feast of the Passover. He's already missed the Feast of the Passover. He wanted to be there for that. But he says, I'm sure going to be there for Pentecost. What in the world could make him so excited about being there for Pentecost? He wanted to be there for the birthday party. What birthday party? The birthday party of the church. That was where the church started, and that was the, if you will, the birthday of the church. I mean, we know the story all the way back in Acts chapter number 2. We've come a long way since then. We've spent a lot of time since then. But Paul said, I want to go back, and I want to be there when the church gets together and says, hey, how many of y'all remember when we was in that upper room? How many of y'all remember when the Spirit of God came down? And how many of you remember we went out and we preached and people were saved? 3,000 got saved that first day. Amen? I mean, man, can you imagine that? And think about this. Here's Paul, and who's he got with him? Well, mainly, not absolutely, but mainly, he's got a bunch of Gentiles with him. He said, boys, I want y'all come see something. We're going back to where this thing all started. Yeah, we're going into Jerusalem. Yeah, we're going in the middle of the Jewish people. Yeah, we're going in there where that's all them folks that I love and that I'd give my life for and that I'd do anything for them to be saved. But I want you to go back and I want you to enjoy all the blessings that there'll be as we get there and you see them old saints of God get together. Amen? You know, We at our churches, we celebrate days like our homecomings. And as we do that, that's basically what we're there for. I mean, it's a celebration of that church and its heritage, right? I mean, you come together and you hear some of the maybe preachers from yesteryear and days gone by and that have pastored there before and all those kind of things. And they get up and they preach on God's grace and what God's done and who he is. And boy, I mean, sometimes you just have yourself a good old time, right? Amen. Well, that's what they're going to do. Paul said, I want y'all to go see what it's all about. And as a matter of fact, Paul, you know, he was not there that day that it happened. Or if he was there, he wasn't in on this part of it. But thank God that day he got saved out there on that road to Damascus. Hey, he wound up going back and being accepted and being part of the disciple. And now he said, I just want to go back for the birthday party. Let's go back, boys, and have a piece of cake. Let's go back and sing hallelujah, happy birthday to the church. Come on, let's just get excited about serving our Lord. And here they are. They're all bunched up. I mean, there's Dr. Luke, and there he is with Timothy and Silas and some of these other men that he mentions that are some of the saints of God with it. They're going back to Jerusalem, and they're going to see something that they've never witnessed before. So that's Paul, one of Paul's big motivations in doing this that he's getting ready to do. He said, I'm going to be back by Pentecost. I'm going to see this thing and just see how it has developed. And then not only, you know, is Paul wanting to see, he's wanting them to see what happened on that day, what it's led to. He's going to bring them Gentiles in there and he's going to say, boys, these guys got saved. Because what happened to y'all in that upper room when the Holy Ghost come down and all that started that day, look what we got today. Amen? And he's got stories to tell them. He's got witnesses to present. I mean, he's got all kinds of things that he wants to show them, and as I said, show these men that are with him and show those that he'll see about them and their lives and how they're changed because of being part of the church. So he's taking some time here to minister. He's taking some time to minister. But I want you to look at that, if you will. Let's look at the testimony that Paul gives of this ministry, of his ministry. We're going to jump on down there to verse number 17. And it says, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church. Now, that word elders is the word, that Greek word presbyteros. It's where we get the name for the Presbyterian church. It is where we get the name for the group of men that come together when you're having somebody ordained, you know, a presbytery. We get that, that's where that word comes from. And it just is the idea of a group of those that are associated together, okay? It's a person that is associated with others in the work and the dealings of the things of God. So Paul is here, and he calls for the elders of the church at Ephesus. And as he does this, he's getting ready to review and talk about his past. He's going to cover the past, the present, and the future of his work. Now, what we're about to see in these next few verses as we go through them, and I stopped at verse 27. It goes all the way through the end of the chapter. We're just going to have to come back next week and kind of pick up from there. But as you'll see this, Paul, and talking about his testimony of this ministry, he is going to be talking to them from the vantage point of a pastor. Now, is Paul a pastor? Well, yeah. Is Paul an evangelist? Well, yeah. Is Paul what we would call one, if not the premier defender of the faith? Yeah, he's all of that. But right here, he's going to change his hat, and he's going to put on his pastor's hat, and he's going to talk to these folks as a pastor would to his congregation. So I want you to look at that just for a bit here, and let's just look at a couple of things. We'll get started. First of all, let's talk about his review of the past. If you'll notice in verse number 18, it says, and when they were come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I just want to do a little review of the things that have happened in the past. Now, how does he review it? Well, you know, if you look at this and you think about this, he says, let's review it, and let's talk about it, if you will. And then first of all, he says, I want to talk to you about my motive in coming to you. My review of this, I want to talk about how that I have come to you. His motive. What is his motive? Well, look in verse number 19, and he says that he has come to them. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. I mean, Paul come to them. He said, and my motivation for coming to you is because I want to be a servant of the Lord. It's not for his glory. It's not to gain popularity. It wasn't to gain money. It wasn't to be some big high and mighty super shot. Brother, he was just simply said, I come to y'all because I'm serving the Lord. That was his motivation. That ought to be our motivation for coming to God's house and for doing whatever we do and for being the witness that we are and for giving the testimony of whatever we got. Brother, your motivation ought to be because you're a servant of the Lord. I mean, that's what he said. I want y'all to know, he said, I'm serving the Lord. He said, with all humility of mind and many tears, and there's temptations which befell me by the line of life. But he said, I want to tell you something. None of that moved me. None of it discouraged me. He'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But I want you to notice, man, he had a motivation for coming and preaching to them. But not only do you notice his motivation, I want you to notice the manner that he came to. Look in verse number 18. He said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the very first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. Do you see what he says? He says, look, from the first day that I got here, my manner has been the same. My manner of coming. And he said, I was motivated by serving the Lord. He said, but my manner is this, that I wanted to be an example to you of what a Christian is and what a Christian should be. And I wanted to preach Christ and I wanted to show you what the gospel was all about. He said, that was my manner of coming. He said, you know, after what manner I've been with you at all. See, I've been here and I've behaved. I haven't tried to take anything that wasn't mine. I haven't tried to, shyster anybody or connive or gain or get money. That's not what it's all. He said, my manner was publicly known among every one of you. Y'all saw me and you saw what it was and you saw how I live. I believe Paul could say, if you saw me and you understood what my manner, you'd say, my manner has been consistent with my speaking. What I said and what I did, they all lined up. Can I tell you that's the way that it ought to be today? Among the preachers, among Christians, but certainly among those that preach the gospel. I mean, we ought to let our mouths and our doings ought to line up. We ought to walk and talk the same way and try to do what's right and what's godly and what's honorable. And Paul said, my motive, my manner. And then he said, I want to tell you something else. Look at my message. What kind of message did Paul have? Well, he said, all I want to do was preach the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I want to do. He said, you know my manner. You know what I did? And he said in verse 20, how that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, don't you know my message hadn't changed? I didn't preach one message over here and another message over there. I didn't do one thing and say this over here and then change it over there. Paul, again, was consistent with his message. The message that he gave out. Can I tell you this? We need to stay with the same message. Amen. I know folks are trying to change it. They say, well, we live in, 2023, and it's different. This book has not changed. This message has not, and it never shall change. Amen. The Lord has not changed. All right? So, you see, he talks about a reminder a review of his past, and then he talks about a reminder of the present. Look in verse number 22. You notice how he starts out. He says, and now. He said, now this is how I came in. That's the past. But he said, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Well, Paul begins to tell him and says, look, here's what I want y'all to know about what's going on right now. First of all, Paul tells him, he said, I want you to realize that there's a lot of it that is unknown. Can I tell you that's the same thing about your present day too? What you're getting into, right? You don't know. You have no idea. Paul says, look, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He said, I don't know. Now, he does tell him, he said, there are some things that the Holy Ghost has showed me that in every city that I go into, bonds and afflictions will abide me. He said, I've had that, been there and done that, and I know that's probably coming on down the line too. He said, but I don't know exactly what my future holds. I don't know. I don't know. And can I tell you, that's every one of us. There are a lot of things in our future that are the unknown. Unknown. But can I tell you this? Look what he says beyond that. He said, there may be some things that are unknown to me, but he said, I want you to know, I'm unmovable even in that thought. Verse 24, he said, but none of these things move me. I don't care. He said, it's not going to shake me whatever happens to me. Because Paul said, so many things have already happened, and I've made it through that. Can you think about the things we've already seen? Paul's been, when he first got saved, he had scales over his eyes and he's blind for days. And Ananias came, prayed, and that cleared up. God talked to him, said, you're a chosen vessel. You're going to go. You're going to suffer some things from me. And he found out on several occasions somebody was trying to kill him. Some of his own countrymen wanted him dead. As a matter of fact, in some of these cities that he went into that we've been studying, they've tried to kill him, tried to stone him, they've tried to beat him, they've tried to try him and put him in prison. I mean, they've done all kinds of things to him. You know what he said? Ain't all that moving me. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm going to keep on doing. None of these things move me. Notice he goes beyond that and he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He said, I'm not trying to, you know, extend my life. I'm not trying to save my life. I'm not trying to get somewhere and say, oh, I ain't going to let this happen. He said, I don't count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. And, he says, the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, I'm just telling y'all, hey, I'm going to be unmovable. But there's a reason behind all of this. He says, I'm doing this. Look in verses 25, 26, and 27. He said, now behold, I know that y'all among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And look what he said in verse 26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He said, I want you to know something. I've done all this. Now, there's a lot of don't know that's coming, but it ain't going to, I'm unmovable in it. He said, because I want to be unblameable when I stand before my Lord one day. He said, I want y'all all to know I'm pure from the blood. Nobody's blood's dripping from my hands because I've preached the gospel. I've preached the whole count. I've told you what the Lord's told me. And, man, he said, and in doing that, I'm clear. Amen. A lot of folks wonder sometimes about preachers. They say, well, they just get up there and they just blast everybody and they just tell all this and they tell people they're going to hell and all that. Can I tell you, a lot of times when God does that to a man and puts that on him, he's got to get it off of him. And what he's got to do, he's got to get it off him, get it on to you, and then you got to deal with it, whatever, however you got to deal with it. Why is that? Because that's the process and the practice of preaching is to preach the Word of God. And when you do that, you wind up being like Paul and say, look, it's off of me and it's on you. And he said, I have done everything that I know to do to tell you what I need to tell you. He said, and that's what I'm continuing to do. That's what I'm going to do, in other words. He said, I don't know what's out there for me exactly, but I know I've made my mind up and I'm unmovable. He said, I don't worry about those things. He said, none of it's going to move me. I'm not going to shake, be shook or moved by all this stuff. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to preach to y'all. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've told you everything. Taught you, I've told you everything that God's given to me. Amen. Now, I'll tell you this, beyond this, as we go on down, and this is what we'll do next week, Lord willing, verses 28 on through the end of the chapter, he'll give a revelation as to the future that's before him, some things that he's going to tell to him about himself and to this church. And if you'll notice there in the next verse, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseer to feed the church of God. In other words, he's saying, look, there is some future duty. I won't be here, but I'm charging you. And this is what you've got to take care of. He's giving them a revelation into the future of the things that they need to know. So Paul has come to them and says, look, I just got one little more thing that I need to tell y'all. and y'all need to hear it. As I said, he's getting ready to wind up next week. It gets into that very last sorrowful part where he says, y'all won't ever see me again, but I sure have unloaded my wagon on y'all to tell you what you need to know. So, and, you know, they're going to weep and they're going to be heartbroken and they're not going to understand it all. And that's the way that it is when, in a lot of preaching and a lot of things. I mean, we don't get it all and we don't understand everything that God's doing when he's doing it. We just know that it's all going to be in his time and on his schedule. So that's what we got to look forward to next week. We're going to find out the rest of the story. Amen. As Paul concludes his preaching here at Ephesus. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of a song.